A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Concerning times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night, when people are saying, peace and security. Then sudden disaster comes upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, for that day to overtake you like a thief. For all of you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert and sober. For God did not destine us for wrath, but to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, as indeed you do. Verbum Domini. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet, come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. Verbum Domini. Jesus performs an exorcism today in the synagogue. Here, we're told, in the synagogue, there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon. It's kind of a striking thing to find that going on in the synagogue, right? The synagogue, we could see, is an image of the church, that Satan has influence on people everywhere, even in the church. We think of Judas, you know, that we're told that Satan puts it into Judas's heart to betray Christ, that Satan enters into him. He's one of the 12, the apostles. So Satan's influence is given quite leeway. It's quite broad. So we shouldn't be shocked or scandalized, you know, when these things happen, because we can look towards Christ, that he is in control. Even though Satan's there everywhere trying to disrupt the gospel, trying to confuse things, trying to distort things, but clearly Jesus has authority over power, has power over the evil one. Satan tries to have some control over Christ by identifying him, saying, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God," like trying to exercise some kind of control over Jesus. Jesus says, "Be quiet, come out of him." He probably uses a strong voice, but it's that simple, right? Jesus has power and authority. And there were people were amazed, said, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." That's the newness of Christ, the Son of God, that he speaks as one with authority, a new authority. He's not a parallel interpretation with the scribes and Pharisees. He is the lawgiver. He speaks with that voice to interpret all things, to have power over all things. In the first reading today from 1 Thessalonians, we see Paul warning us to be prepared for this day of the Lord, the second coming, the final consummation of history, the glorious return of Christ, the final judgment, the establishment of the kingdom in its fullness, that there is a coming fulfillment, that in this fallen world where oftentimes sin appears to have its reign and its rule, there is a coming fulfillment, that we look with hope even towards this day, even though it'll be a great and terrible day. You know, there'll be a transformation of the world, that sin and all this aspect, this fallenness, will be burnished and cleansed and offered. The world will be offered to his Heavenly Father. So we await with hope, looking towards Christ. So he warns us, Paul warns us here in 1 Thessalonians, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when people are saying peace and security, then sudden disaster comes upon them. Haven't we experienced that even in recent years, the suddenness of tragedies and how shocking it is? You think of 9/11 or the 2008 financial crash. It was a global financial crisis, the worst one since the Great Depression. Collapse of the U.S. housing market, loss of value of $13 trillion of households, you know, in this country alone, affected the whole world. Stock market plummeted 50%. I remember thinking, where did this come from? It was just so sudden, right? Shocking. We've seen civil wars, invasions. These things are shocking. And he's Jesus is saying that the suddenness of this second coming is going to be like that. It's going to be unexpected. He also compares it to labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's coming. When she starts having labor pains, the baby's coming. Right? Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. These are also comparisons. Our security is not to be shaken at this second coming. You know, as Christians, we look forward, have our hope in the day of the Lord, when his kingdom is fully established. So Paul exhorts us to be children of the light, that we are not of darkness. There's a coming reckoning. We long for the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. It is the only thing, when we think about it, the only thing that makes sense of this fallen world. If we try to wring some kind of satisfaction and fulfillment and ultimate peace, any lasting peace out of this world, it's not going to work. We live in a fallen world that can never fully satisfy us. So thanks be to God that he's coming. Thanks be to God to make sense of this fallen world. He's the fullness of all things, the Alpha and the Omega of everything. And I think we can, and other writers have pointed this out, on a personal level, our own death is like a day of the Lord. That's when we have our personal judgment. Our eternity is set at that moment. And that's going to come suddenly for most of us. Be children of the light. I see that as we are to walk in the light. We are to walk towards the light, to orient our life towards the gospel values, to be walking with Jesus, to have Jesus as the goal for all things, that we're serving him. Even doing good things can have a certain emptiness if we're not focused on Christ, let alone if we're doing bad things, right? That's really tearing us up. Paul speaks of sobriety and alertness. Stay sober and alert. How do we keep that alertness, that focus on the Lord? First thing that comes to mind for me is that we need to be confessing our sins. We need to stay in a state of grace. If we've committed mortal sins, especially, we need to get to confession. It's good to confess even venial sins, though. Sharpens our conscience, our self-knowledge, fosters this life of grace in us, our connection, our communion with God. If you're struggling with this, if you're watching this Mass, there's many great examination of consciences online. There's guides that can help you make a good confession. I think EWTN's website has one, and other places have good guides to guide you, in this process. We just had the family event in the D.C. area. It was wonderful to see so many viewers there. It's a great encouragement for us to hear how the network is helping people in their life. And especially when you hear the stories of people that are carrying very heavy crosses, the kind that really bewilder you, confuse you, sets you back, shakes your security. Those kind of crosses that really turn everything upside down. You hear the network helped them get through something, the gospel message that they heard on this network helped them to persevere. That's so powerful for us who work here and are part of the network to see that helping people in their lives. And we heard a number of confessions, at the event. And again, it's very powerful to hear stories of conversion and how people come back to the faith. We got to turn back to Christ and continually turn back to him. So if you're stuck in sin, don't lose heart. You're not going to figure it out yourself. You're not going to get out of the the whole by your own strength, come to the Lord, come to the sacraments, confess your sins, come to Mass. It's in the Mass that we encounter him in the most deepest way. To stay sober and alert, of course, to have daily prayer, to have that discipline, even if the only time of quiet you can get is in your car ride to work, talk to the Lord. I've been trying to do that more. Tell him what's going on in your life. Turn it over to him. Ask him to show you his will and your difficulties. In your confusion, you can't see the way. Just, Lord, you show me your will. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How many times did Mother Angelica tell us that, to come and talk to the Lord? You know, in our churches, but anywhere we can do this. We stay sober and alert by fostering that charity towards all. We stay sober and alert by having thankfulness to God. If you're struggling with that, just make a list of things, even just a mental list of things you're grateful for. Remember in Exodus, when the Israelites are complaining, it does not go well for them. That complaining spirit does a lot of damage to us. It's not hurting the Lord in a sense, but it's us. It's having us turn from God, you know, and complain. Be thankful. And to stay sober and alert, I think especially today, we have to be careful of our media use. It is like a pervasive drug in our culture. It could be a great dissipation of our interior life. It can be a place of temptations. Our curiosity can get a hold of us, you know, in our media use, and that's a dangerous spot to be in. But God, he seems like he works with us oftentimes in two ways. I think the invitation of Christ says that he allows temptations to strengthen us, to test us. Every time we turn to him in a temptation, we grow stronger. And he also gives us consolations. At times we can have this awareness of his presence, his strength, and then 5 minutes later, we're struggling with some kind of temptation, right? He works in both these things to draw us closer to himself. But Paul has a great line of hope in all of this, that we are not destined for wrath, but to gain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our destiny. And that's what we are to hold on to remember that. In the responsorial psalm, it exhorts us to wait for the Lord with courage, be stout-hearted, and wait for the Lord. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians also says to encourage one another. But in this waiting for the Lord, to wait with courage, to wait with fortitude. St. Thomas Aquinas would say that endurance is more of the essence of fortitude than attack. You think of like the brave man going into battle, attacking the evil. This endurance of sometimes just holding on to the good, holding on to the truth, when others are speaking lies and confusion, is more of the essence of fortitude than maybe we can attack. Maybe there's nothing we can do. Certainly, at times in a fallen culture, it's overwhelming at times, but to suffer and endure, maybe that's the only possibility. That's still exercising fortitude, and he says it's more the essence of fortitude, because fortitude primarily and ultimately proves its genuine character in this activity of the soul. That's Joseph Pieper's words. And this clinging to the good, of grasping and holding on to the good. So yes, we need to do that, and we need to encourage one another. Because sometimes we're in the ditch And then other times we're not in the ditch, and we can help those in the ditch. Right? We might be at a point of consolation that we can help others. And I'll close with this. I was recently meditating on John chapter 6, and Jesus says in verse 54, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's half a sentence. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. What consolation to stay in a state of grace, to receive communion. He's saying, we have eternal life. He's saying, I will raise you up on the last day. That yes, the second coming is going to happen. Bodies will be raised up. We've joined with him for all eternity. That's a promise that if we're faithfully coming to Mass, receiving this communion, he's giving us life, he's joining us to himself. And Jesus is the one with power and authority. He does not fail. That he will bring us to this heavenly and blessed land that we're destined for, our salvation.